Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back for hour number two on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Joe Galina, joined by Brian Rutkowski. And you're probably wondering where George Kurtz is. He's hanging out in Florida, hanging out in Harry Potterville. So he was in Disney. This guy is living the life, but one of the hardest working guys in fantasy there, Brian. This guy, he's hanging out in Florida, just recharging the batteries. And, you know, Disney, the happiest place on earth. You ever been to Disney?
I went a couple times, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting now because, you know, they bought up they bought up all the Star Wars stuff. They bought up all the Marvel stuff. So I think they opened part of their park is going to be like a Star Wars theme park.
I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, but no, I'm not. But no? I know whatever they're going to make, it's probably going to be insane.
Yeah. So what are you into? Like, you know, I mean, are you into are you into movies? Or are you into, you know, let's say the superhero kind of movies? I mean, it sounds like you're not into sci-fi or whatnot. But
if anything, I'm a Game of Thrones guy. That's how sci-fi go. Yeah.
Yeah. So were you big on it? Did you watch this? Did you watch the season?
Yeah, it was okay. Disappointing.
Yeah.
The other seasons were very good. Yeah. So for them to do this season, it had to be amazing. It was okay.
All right. Well, from what I understand, is it the directors, or maybe even Sean Engel could chime in on this, either the directors or the producers are involved in making the next Star Wars movies or something? So they were kind of busy, it seemed like. And a lot of people felt that this season was rushed.
Rushed, yeah.
What did we have? We had like, what, six episodes or whatnot?
So six episodes.
You probably could have stretched. Yeah, you probably could have stretched it to 10, no?
That's what HBO wanted. They said we can do 10, yeah. And the director said no, we're going to squish it into 6.
Right. So yep. I mean, I guess I was a little disappointed, but you know, the way that the show ended, I guess I understood it. You know, like you had the Winterfell episode, right? And then you had the episode where the queen went nuts and she burnt down the whole city. I mean, I guess. The way that Queen Cersei went was kind of like anticlimactic, yep. Right? You expected her to go down in a little bit more of a more dramatic way, right?
Yeah, much more.
Crushed by rocks isn't the best sending off.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of people complained about that last episode. And you just think about it like at the start, you know, I guess the first 5-10 minutes of it were very, very, you know, slow moving, quiet, but it almost like made sense because after the city was just burned to the ground, it seemed like everyone was in shock, and the emotion, the shock emotion, kind of like came through. At least in my opinion, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of problems with. Don't get me wrong, but I you know, I guess I just feel that you know. Peter Dinklage's character just walking around, just like. You know, here's someone, you know, he had put such faith in what's her name? The she had so many names, the Queen of Dragons.
Yeah. Yeah. Daenerys.
He was wrong like 15 times in a row this past season. He was guessing everything wrong.
Yeah. Right. But what I thought was cool was now that, go ahead, Sean, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I do not know how to predict things in these days.
That's a pretty good Peter Dinklage impersonation. But I like the new, well, I don't know, I guess the council, when they were all sitting at the table. It's definitely a lot different, a lot more lax than the previous regime. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, with Brienne and all of them. Yeah. Very different.
Yeah. It'll be a very different time. And, yeah. All right. So why don't we switch gears, though, and start talking a little NFL. Sent you the link to this experts draft. It's FFC Champs Industry Expert Invitational put together by Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz, who you could hear from time to time on our network. I believe he's coming back to the network with some football coverage, but great stuff out of him. And you saw the link there, Brian, and it's a 12-team league. They're going to be starting two quarterbacks, three running backs, two tight ends, and there's going to be so basically, those are the kind of nuances to this league. It looks like it's a PPR league, but you want to go through some of this stuff? Maybe give me your opinion on some of the picks?
Let's do it.
All right. So what do you think about Saquon Barkley going number one overall? Last year and previous years, it was like almost an automatic that if you had the number one overall pick, it would be Todd Gurley. But, Todd Gurley dealing with that knee issue, I don't know, is it arthritis? Is it something more serious? The Rams have already mentioned that he's not going to be taking part in any preseason games. But in a way, that's nothing new. The Rams kind of don't expose their star players to game action in the preseason, which I kind of agree with. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, limited.
Do you feel that maybe...
Yeah, limited injuries as little as possible.
Yeah. On the other hand, I mean, you could be a little rusty, but hey, I'm with the Rams on this one. But what do you think about the Saquon Barkley going number one overall?
I think that's fine. I think he's going to get a million touches a game because they have no one else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only thing is that other teams might stack the box, so I don't know. He has to work around that, but mm-hmm. I think he has a volume.
Yeah. Yep. And especially in a PPR league, he's going to be valuable as well. And speaking of valuable PPR running backs, Christian McCaffrey. Have you seen pictures of this guy?
He's too big.
How jacked he is. Yeah. Do you think so? You think that's going to be an issue for him?
That's like the LeRon Landry, that effect. Like, you're almost too big for your own good. I don't know if he's going to be able to, move his arms above his shoulders to catch a football.
All right, that's
bicep is the size of my head.
I mean, you never. No, that's definitely a problem. I mean, it could be an issue. It's a different sport, but remember what Thor had done. DeGrom, the Met pitcher, where he got too bulky, and Syndergaard. I couldn't think of his name. Thank you. But when you look at 107 receptions last year for Christian McCaffrey, 867 yards receiving, 60 touchdowns, and over 1,000 yards rushing and another 7 touchdowns. Any argument for making him the number one overall pick? Or are you happy with Saquon Barkley?
I think him and Saquon are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. If you had the number one pick, who would it be?
I'm going to be biased because I'm a Cowboys fan and I know I shouldn't. Yeah. I think I would go McCaffrey.
But you're a Dallas fan, right? And you'd go McCaffrey?
Yeah. Rather than Saquon, of course, because then week one, we're in, I think we're in New York. So now I have to watch him run around. No, I'll take McCaffrey.
Okay, so number three taken off the board is Zeke Elliott. I mean, what more could you say about Zeke? Like I mentioned earlier in the show, what he did last season in terms of adding, catching the ball out of the backfield to his repertoire. Still a very young guy, just 23 years old. Seems like he's been around forever. But when you look at his stats from last year, 4.7 yards per carry, 1,434 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns. But the big thing was the 77 receptions. 567 yards. So, I mean, obviously someone, if he's just, he's got to stay out of trouble there, Brian.
Yeah, as I said before, he should just stay in his house, invite people over, don't go outside, don't shove anybody, and we should be okay.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So the first four picks are running back. So it was Fantasy Taz, Dr. Roto, Matthew Berry now with the fourth pick. He takes Alvin Kamara, running back for the Saints now. Mark Ingram no longer on the Saints. You have Latavius Murray. Alvin Kamara, any concerns with him in terms of, I mean, first of all, do you think that the Saints might change his role, make him more of an every down back? Because, I mean, I was looking at his stats, the number of carries, not only in college, but even in the pros. I mean, the guy is, don't get me wrong, he's a beast. You know, one of the top, obviously, running backs in football. But when you look at, you know, his total number of carries, do you think that he could be a guy that could eventually, like, you know, get 250 carries a game, but that's just not him, and they should just, you know, play to his strengths?
I think he makes it up for it in the passing game. He catches a million passes. So I think it can balance it out.
Yeah. Yeah, because you look at what he, last season, 194 rushes, 4.6 carries per rush, 14 touchdowns on the ground. But like you mentioned, catches a ton of passes, 81 receptions each of the last two seasons, and 709 receiving yards with four touchdowns last season. So so then the first wide receiver taken off the board is DeAndre Hopkins. And then Liz Loza follows up with this number one six, the number six pick overall. She's from Yahoo, by the way, Devontae Adams. Do you agree with DeAndre Hopkins being the number one wide receiver taken? Do you have any issues with that? Do you think that maybe someone else, like, you know, I've heard both Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins being mentioned as number one overall wide receivers. Who do you like here? Do you like the Hopkins or you like Adams more?
I think that order is fine. I had Devontae Adams last year. He was a beast for me. But DeAndre Hopkins.
He really was, yeah. He really came.
Was Hopkins, he was either one or two, right? Last year?
When, in terms of overall production?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I don't remember exactly, but yeah, he was definitely like top two.
Yeah, Devontae Adams was up there too.
Yeah, actually, I think maybe Adams might have been number one and Hopkins might have been number two. But yeah, both of them. Yeah, 115 receptions for DeAndre Hopkins last season, 11 touchdowns. That's after he had scored 13 touchdowns last year. Definitely the number one option in the Texans offense. But let's take a look at Devontae Adams last year. And Packers are going to be an interesting offense to look at this year. Let's see, 111 receptions for Devontae Adams last year, 1,386 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns. So, you're happy with the order that went and DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams?
Yeah, I think they can, like one and two, I think they can also be interchangeable first wide receiver off the board.
There you go. All right. And we talked, I think we were talking off air this morning, where you were a little surprised that Sigmund Bloom took Travis Kelce, number seven overall. But this scoring system favors tight ends. And like we mentioned, two tight ends are being started in this league. So I guess it kind of makes more sense there, right? And then when you look at the way that the rest of the draft unfolded, I mean, basically when it came to tight ends, I don't know if you remember last year, that was a tough position to fill. You know, you had Travis Kelce, you had George Kittle,
Ertz.
Zach Ertz, and yeah. I mean, Eric Ebron was pretty good for a while, but there aren't really many top-flight tight ends in football, in fantasy.
Yeah, last season I was looking for a tight end all year. I think I started with Njoku. He did nothing, and then I just started bouncing around week to week waiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Njoku has a good shot. Coming into his own this year. He might be kind of like the breakout star. Be honest with you when it comes to tight ends, but tight end is an interesting position because, like the wide receiver position, just seems like it takes. Them, like let's say a year, sometimes even two, before they get acclimated to playing in the NFL and actually coming into their own. So We'll see. But you okay, based on the scoring system with Travis Kelce going number 7 overall, would you have made another pick? Because Todd Gurley went number 8.
I was going to Jeff Radcliffe. You got Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Lev Bell, James Conner, all after Travis Kelce, so I'm not sure. Even with the scoring.
Well, it sounds like you're not that thrilled. You would have went running back.
I think you got to go running back.
Don't be okay. So of those guys that you mentioned, so who would you take at number 7?
If Todd Gurley's healthy, I'm definitely taking Gurley. And then Melvin Gordon, I know he has the knees too. And then I don't know Le'Veon Bell, if he's going to be in shape, how much production he's going to get, but.
Yeah, there's some stories about him being a little overweight and in the offseason. And it's Jets kind of like a bit of a dumpster fire. Basically the Giants kind of conceded the city to them after the whole debacle with the Daniel Jones stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the Jets said, hey, wait, we're the.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be the goofballs of the city.
All the New York teams are a dumpster fire, except for the Yankees and the Nets.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell? Now, we know that if you believe the reports that Adam Gase wasn't real thrilled with bringing him on board, the guy missed an entire year, right? Sat out. So what do you? You know, what do you think about Bell? Would you do you think he's a risky pick in the first round, or do you trust him in terms of, because you mentioned, you know, if Todd Gurley's healthy, well, I mean, let's see if you draft him now. We really are not 100% sure.
That's a big if.
If Todd Gurley's going to be healthy, and then that first round, you want to make sure that you get someone that doesn't have any problems coming into the season. I mean, if something happens in the middle of the season, well, look, you know. It happens, you know. That's football.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that Bell's a risky pick in the first round?
I think all the money you're paying him, they have to use him a lot if he's ready to go.
Right.
What do you think about David Johnson at 11 with Kyler Murray? Do you think he's going to – because last year I don't think he did performed up to his usual standard.
Right. I kind of like him. But I feel that the Cardinals didn't really address one of their biggest problems, which is offensive line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, David Johnson's saying all the right things. You know, I'm going to be come back to form. That offensive line still needs work.
Not good.
All right, we'll come back. We'll come back, talk more about this FFC Champs Industry Expert League draft.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, Brian Rutkowski. Hanging out with you on a Sunday. Going over expert draft for FFC, the FF Champs Industry Expert Invitational, actually, put together by our own Fantasy Taz, Jim Day. Just some of the more notable names, Dr. Roto, Matthew Berry, Liz Loza, Sigmund Bloom, Jeff Radcliffe, Evan Silva, Adam Ronis, lots of big names in this draft. So we're going through some of that. And you had talked about David Johnson. So let's take a look at David Johnson's numbers from last season. Averaging less than 4 yards per carry, 3.6 yards per carry last season, Brian. 258 rushes, 940 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns. And then 50 receptions, 3 touchdowns, 446 receiving yards. Basically, I mean, talk about dumpster fires. When you look at that Cardinals offense from last year, poor Josh Rosen, man. There was no way that this guy was going to succeed. Just not enough talent surrounding him. And we're talking a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals offensive line. It was basically a horror show last season, and I don't feel that they upgraded enough and addressed the concerns so far this preseason. So I don't know. Is David Johnson somebody that you're looking to, you know, to take in drafts, or are you just thinking about it for now?
I wouldn't take him in the first round.
Yeah. He went, let's see, where did he go? Number 11, right? So we were talking to DeAndre Hopkins, went with the 5th pick, the first wide receiver. Davante Adams, 6th pick, second wide receiver. We talked Travis Kelce. And then you brought up a good point in terms of Todd Gurley. The question is he going to be healthy? Le'Veon Bell, issues with him with, you know, taking a year off. Does it help or hurt him? Like, what do you think that just, you know, forget everything else. Do you think that the year off helps or hurt him? Because, you know, the Steelers were really just running him into the ground. Yeah.
Pittsburgh system, he got 300 touches a year. So I think he, with the year, I think it's good and bad. Year off, no hits, anything, but also he's probably out of shape. He's probably going to take a couple weeks to get going.
Right. And I think he's, you know, and these haven't been mandatory workouts, but he hasn't shown up for them. And look, you know, you really can't fault the guy. If it's not a mandatory workout, then you really, you know, can't, you know, hold the guy accountable. But like you said, you know, no game action, you know, you worry. You could, in my opinion, you could work out all, you could do all the workouts you want offline. Nothing beats actually being in camp and actually getting hit by a human body.
Yeah.
You know?
Building chemistry with your teammates too, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. By the way, I'm just checking out fantasyfootballtoday.com, and when it comes to running backs from last season in PPR formats, David Johnson was the 11th. He was number 11 in fantasy points per game. With 15.5. So just a quick taking a look back on last year. Todd Gurley was number one in terms of fantasy points per game. He had 26.3. Saquon Barkley was number two. Christian McCaffrey, number three. Kamara, number four. You talked about Melvin Gordon, 50 catches, 490 yards. He was number five. Zeke, I'm surprised Zeke is number six. But James Conner, number seven, Kareem Hunt, number eight, Joe Mixon, number nine, and James White rounds out your top 10. I'm actually thinking that I'm liking Joe Mixon a little bit this year. What do you think about Joe Mixon? Do you think he has a little more upside than he had? I mean, he had a pretty good year last year. I'm going to pull up his numbers now. But what do you think about Joe Mixon in terms of looking at him last year, 4.9 yards for carry. 8 touchdowns, 1,168 rushing yards, 43 catches. I mean, I think I'd move him into the first round. I feel more comfortable taking him than maybe a Le'Veon Bell. What do you think?
I like Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon last year when he got hurt, I actually picked up Gio Bernard for a couple weeks, and he had, I think, back-to-back 20-something point weeks for me. But the name you just said, Kareem Hunt, I think that's very interesting. Yeah. Since he's suspended, where do you think he would go? Or is he even going to be drafted?
Yeah, you could wait a while.
Yeah. Is he getting a six? What is his suspension? 6 games?
I believe it's 8. And I'll Google that as we talk. Based on memory, I think he's
suspended for eight
games. Okay, yeah. And he's on the Browns. So that's going to be an interesting situation, too. Once he comes off that suspension, when you have Nick Chubb, you know, how much he would cut into Nick Chubb's playing time. So, but I jumped ahead when I talked about Joe Mixon, but let's just continue here. Number 8 for Jeff Ratcliffe was Todd Gurley. Number 9 was Le'Veon Bell. Number 10, Melvin Gordon. Number 11, David Johnson. Number 12, James Conner. Any concerns with James Conner? Because he kind of slowed down a little bit at the end of the year last year. And Steelers actually drafted, I think, Benny Snell. Any concerns with, Conner in terms of, being able to play a full season at full capacity?
I think that's just the Pittsburgh workload. They just work you. So Benny Snell from Kentucky, that's a good pick. So he might cut into his time a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even just from a PPR standpoint, right? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Benny Snell could do it all, catch some balls out of the backfield as well. So, so James Conner taken by Adam Ronis at number 12. Then he came back and took George Kittle. And George Kittle, man, he really, really came into his home last year. And I'm going to pull up his numbers now. But like I said, so many people had problems with tight ends last year. George Kittle, 88 catches, 1,377 receiving yards. Touchdowns a little low. Garoppolo was
no Jimmy
out
G.
for
yeah.
just about the – yeah. So what do you think about George Kittle? Do you think he deserves to be considered as top three along with Ertz and Kelsey?
Well, we got to see now. Jimmy G's coming back. Who's he going to target? If he's still going to target him as the other QBs did.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because that does play a part.
That was with Wentz and Foles. Foles liked Ertz better than Wentz, and then when Wentz came in, Ertz's numbers went down.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But well, let's take a look at the wide receivers what are his options here, Jimmy G? Marquise Goodwin, Deebo Samuel, who they drafted, top two wide receivers for them. So I guess when you look at it, I see Kittle still being, a top target.
Yeah, also Dante Pettis had a good year last year, too.
Yes. He's a guy that should be on some radars, right?
Yep,
some guy
definitely.
That should probably get like middle of the draft. Yeah. Good name to bring up. So, George Kittle. And then here's a guy taking with the second pick of the second round. What do you think about Odell Beckham Jr.? He is a junior, right? Odell Beckham Jr.,
yeah.
Wide receiver now for the Browns. First of all, being a Dallas fan, first of all, do you like laugh behind the Giants' back and basically everything that's been going on with them for the past 6 months? The trade of Odell Beckham Jr. and then they take Daniel Jones with the first pick in their first pick in the first round. What would give me just a quick take on?
Oh, I love
how you feel about the Giants.
Loving every second. Every second they showed him on the sideline hitting nets. Yelling, me and my dad loved every second.
Yeah. Do you think that the Giants were justified in trading him? Do you think that, let's say, if they would have held on to him, how do you think he would have interacted with, a Daniel Jones? Well, let me get your opinion. And it seems like that the... at the start of the season, Eli is going to be the starting quarterback. Do you think that he, in week 16, do you think that Daniel Jones ends up taking over that job? Or do you think that basically this is going to be like a year where Jones is on the sidelines learning, just being there and just trying to absorb as much as he can, learn the playbook and whatnot? What do you think is going to happen with the Giants this year?
I don't know if Eli has some kind of dirt on the Mara family. I don't know how he is still starting. It's insane.
Yeah. But Giants kind of a loyal organization.
I guess he deserves it.
Yeah. You can't take away those two Super Bowl titles, two Super Bowl MVPs.
That does buy you some time.
Won. But let's face it. Yeah, yeah. But let's face it, man, when you look at this guy, even in his prime, he was a gritty, very good quarterback, a guy that, you know, showed up for every single game. I think a good leader. You know, I know that we talk about the Eli face, and you know, when I watch the games with my wife, she hates his, you know, his face. That, you know, mm-hmm. he looks so dejected. But I still think that he's a good leader. But even in his prime, like, he wasn't like an Aaron Rodgers, you know, or you know, like a top quarterback in terms of, you know, being able to zip the ball. Like, just, you know, he was very good. He wasn't a great quarterback. You see where I'm going? Not a Dan Marino where he could just, yeah. But he can't, like, zip the ball, like, all over the field or whatnot. I mean, but the thing is, like you said, I mean, and like we said a couple of seconds ago, two Super Bowl rings, two Super Bowl MVPs, you know, and also, you know, in his prime did show up in terms of, you know, big-time games.
He benefited from good defenses. He had some good defenses for those years.
Yes. Yes, yeah. So, but when you talk about, you know, like Eli Manning having dirt on the Giants, I mean, when you look at it, I know it might not seem that way because they ended up trading him away, but the Giants are loyal to their players. And when I say that, that doesn't seem like it when they traded him away, but OBJ, you know, John Mara, it seemed like he really genuinely liked this guy. I mean, you know, they did sign him to a big-time contract, but the guy just kept on kind of like throwing dirt in their face. I mean, he did that ESPN interview, right, where he was asked, you know, are you happy in New York? And he kind of hesitated. This is after he signed, you know, like, what was it, a $90 million contract? And you got to, you know, take some time to think if you're happy about playing in New York. And, you know, then you had the whole incidences in the past where you mentioned that, you know, punching the net, you know, lifting his leg, you know, making believe that he was, you know, a dog and going to the bathroom or whatnot in the end zone. I mean, just like, just different stuff. I mean, you got to wonder, like, you know, how he would have interacted, you know, with a young guy like a Daniel Jones. Now, he does have a young quarterback in the Browns, like with Baker Mayfield. But at least Baker Mayfield is kind of like,
I think they have similar personalities.
Who? Mayfield and
OBJ.
OBJ, yeah. That's a good point. You know, Mayfield, he's not shy.
Yeah. Both outspoken a little bit.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I don't know. What'd you think about that whole Daniel Jones incident with the Giants? I mean, I'll tell you, as a Giant fan, I mean, I would have taken him with that second pick in the second round. I mean, in the first round. I mean, you know, I don't know how you felt about it. Kind of, you probably snickered as a Cowboys fan.
I loved it, but I think way too early. Josh Allen, I think, was still on the board there. You just traded Vernon.
Yeah, that was the guy.
That's a replacement, right there.
That was the guy. Yeah, yeah. Well,
like, draft the guy that you want. So I guess if they wanted him, they went out and got him.
Yeah, and you know, they're trying to say that, hey, you know, they knew for a fact that there were a couple teams that were looking to take Daniel Jones. I find that hard to believe.
I don't believe that for a second.
I also feel bad. Yeah, I don't believe it either, man. And, you know, I kind of feel bad that Daniel Jones's Giant career is starting this way.
He's thrown right into the fire.
Seems like he's, yeah, yeah. But supposedly, you know, he's looked pretty good in these OTAs, and unfortunately he's had to answer questions about being, you know, the number one overall pick for the Giants. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But what do you think of him? Let's see. He's the one, two. He's the third wide receiver going off the board in this draft. And then after Odell Beckham, pick number 15 overall was Zach Ertz. And then you have Michael Thomas. I mean, do you actually like Odell Beckham Jr. more than Michael Thomas, in your opinion? I mean, you also have to take a look at, you know, Odell Beckham is missed some games, too.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed in Cleveland. Him, Landry, Callaway, and Njoku. I would take Michael Thomas over OBJ.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would as well, to tell you the truth. And I know that, you know, Drew Brees is getting a little bit older and kind of like he tailed off a little bit at the end of last season. But, you know, when you look at what Michael Thomas had done, that's a that's a pretty good point. You know, Landry is going to be there getting some targets with the Browns as well. But you bring up a good point with that statement. So after Michael Thomas, Jeff Ratcliffe, Pro Football Focus, number 17 pick overall, Joe Mixon, who I think he could give you first round production. I think he could. Compared to David Johnson, Joe Mixon, I'm taking Joe Mixon. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so am I. Definitely, I like that pick. That's a solid pick.
Yeah. All right. And then Sigmund Bloom with pick number 18 overall takes the first quarterback off the draft, Patrick Mahomes. And I want to get your take on Patrick Mahomes. We'll go into a commercial. But we'll see what you think about Patrick Mahomes for next year. Probably no Tyreek Hill. See how much of a regression we could expect from him. We'll be back with more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, Brian Rutkowski, hanging out with you on a Sunday. A little Eddie Grant. I think this is an 80s tune, right? Electric Avenue. Familiar with it at all?
Yeah, this is a, you know, part of my take, the podcast. That's the intro song that they use.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. Very good. Like it. 80s was a good time for music. Last night, you know, as I was falling asleep, I was in the middle of the night. I was watching a little CNN. They do a little, I guess, mini series on the different decades, and then they were talking a little 80s music. You familiar with some 80s music there, Brian? I know it's a little bit before your time.
Is Iron Maiden in the 80s?
Yes, so, it is. But yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking more like, you know, like 80s was like when MTV was born.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, you had, like Michael Jackson in his prime. Bruce Springsteen was big and, you know, stuff like that, that music videos. But, are you into Iron Maiden? Are you into more heavy metal kind of stuff?
That more my dad, but I'll listen to it. I'm all over.
Yeah.
Country, rap.
Right.
Anything.
Uh-huh. Country's big, right? Country kind of like morphed into, it's not only like country, because my daughter's big into country music. Uh-huh. She goes to these country music festivals. She's going to Nashville. I forget what the name of the country music festival is, but it's more like a country, like pop, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like hip hop, but it's like country. I know what you mean.
Yeah. And speaking of hip hop, this 80s, miniseries that I was watching CNN, that was like that's when, you know, hip hop really started too, and then it evolved into, you know, what it is today. So good stuff. 80s music, very entertaining there. So if
it's the CNN chance, that's the decade series, right? They go decade.
Yeah.
I've seen the 90s and 2000s. Yeah. That's a good, I like that track.
Yeah. So yeah, they happen to be doing some 80s stuff, so that's some of my formative years, because, you know, I'm not as young as you, you know, I gotta admit it. So, but before we left, we were taking a look at this FF Champs Industry Expert Invitational League that the Fantasy Taz Jim Day has put together. I believe it's still being drafted. So, but we're up to pick number 18 overall, and it's a two quarterback league, and Patrick Mahomes, first quarterback taken here at number 18. So what do you think about Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, what he did last year, you know, for the ages, right? What do you have, like 50, I was going to say steals, 50 touchdowns last season. You know, obviously, Tyreek Hill, one of his big play receivers. Yeah, so 50 touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes. Led the Chiefs to a 12-4 record. A lot of poise for a young guy. You know, he's 23 years old, but you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. And in my opinion, it's not going to end well. But you know, don't want to prejudge. But when you look at now, you know, and it's not a bad thing to have. But his number one guy to throw the ball to is going to be Travis Kelce. Still got. He's still got Sammy Watkins there, who, you know, basically, you know, had been dealing with some injury issues. I mean, we had been thinking of him as, like, you know, potentially developing into a number one wide receiver overall. Just never happened because of all the injuries that he's faced during his career. Still, you know, based on his age, kind of in his prime, what do you think about you know, Patrick Mahomes, how much of a, I mean, we can't expect him to throw 50 touchdowns again this year, but how much of a regression do you think we get from him?
I think he's going to drop off a little bit, but I think the Tyreek Hill thing, they used their first draft pick on a wideout, Georgia, similar to Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. I think he ran a 4.3 40. So I don't know. I think he'll definitely regress. I just don't know how much.
Right. Are you talking about Mecole Hardman? That's the guy?
Mecole Hardman, yep.
But yeah, he's almost, I remember them talking about him as like a kind of a Tyreek Hill clone, kind of. So, yeah, so I guess we'll see. And then the Chiefs kind of, and you know, when you get news like this coming out this early in the preseason, you take it with a grain of salt. But they said that their running back, Damian Williams, is going to be the guy. And he really, you know, helped them out late in the season last year because they lost Kareem Hunt after he had his off the field issues. But yeah, so you depth the chart there when it comes to running backs is Damian Williams and then Carlos Hyde. You have Darrell Williams, but do you take any credence into Damian Williams? The vote of confidence they gave him that he's going to be their number one bell cow back.
Yeah, during last year, I think his production went way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So pick number 19 overall, Nick Chubb. Gonna like what he did last year. I guess our only concern might be when Kareem Hunt is reinstated after week 8. But, you know, in 9 games that he started last year, Nick Chubb, 8 touchdowns, 5.2 yards per carry, decent hands, 20 catches, 2 touchdowns. Do you like where he went in this draft?
Yeah, I actually picked him up last year. He did very good for me. So I think that's a solid spot for him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Right behind them at pick number 20 overall, Dalvin Cook, Vikings running back. Now, here's a guy, I've seen videos of him. I mean, and you could, this preseason looking really good. I guess the key with him has always been, he's a young guy, of him just staying on the field, right?
Yeah, no more Latavius Murray in Minnesota, health-wise, so I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big plus, right? Last season, 10 games. 4.6 yards per carry, just 2 rushing touchdowns. But that's, you mentioned Latavius Murray kind of vultured some of that from him. But you know, if you play in a PPR league, you know, played in a total of 11 games, started 10, you got to love the 40 catches there, Brian.
The next name that's coming up, I'm surprised he's this low. I guess it's because of the lack of touchdowns, but still.
Julio Jones, right?
Yeah. I'm surprised. I forgot about him. Yeah. He's all the way down here.
Right. Matthew Berry took him pick number 21 overall. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, if you had a choice, let's say if you're in this draft and, you know, you've decided, look, my next pick is going to be a wide receiver. Is it him or is it OBJ?
That's tough. I got to go Julio. I think there's less weapons in Atlanta than there is in Cleveland.
Well, you know, I've kind of warmed up to Julio Jones. He's the guy that, you know, I know he has a lot of talent and whatnot, but I kind of like had avoided him. You know, he had it always seemed that he would be playing hurt, you know. And when you look at his, you know, career numbers in terms of games played, you know, since 2014, 15 games played, 16, 14, 16, 16. You know, you kind of think of him as an injury-prone player in the past, but he played through those nagging injuries, which, yeah. you know, that's the issue. So, when you look at what he did last year, 113 receptions, 1,677 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. So I think I think I would take him over OBJ as well. I think this is going to be a nice big bounce back year for the Falcons. Remember the Falcons, they just 2 years ago, they were in the Super Bowl.
Injuries got them this year, last year.
Yeah, big time. You're right. Big time injuries. So I think they could be the team that could sneak up on you this year. All right, let's move on from after Julio Jones. Now, this gets interesting, and they go back-to-back. Pick 22 and 23. You get Juju Smith-Schuster for the Steelers. And then right behind him, Dr. Roto at pick number 23 overall.
Two friends.
Takes Antonio Brown. What's that?
The two best friends.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, you know... we know what Juju could do there, right? I mean, and he's going to be the number one guy. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he does without Antonio Brown there. Now, I mean, the number one cornerbacks from opponents' teams are going to be focused on him. Do you think that he's going to be able to continue to be as productive when more of the focus of opposing defenses is on Juju?
I think his numbers are going to go down a little bit because – Antonio Brown demands a double team, I think, most of the time. So he's running across the middle free. We'll see, though.
Yeah. So when you look at what he did last year, Juju, 111 receptions, 1,426 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns. You think that goes down? You think he breaks 100?
I think he's still worth a first-round pick. I think he'll still get 100.
Right. Well, you would take him in the first round overall in a 12-team league?
12?
Yeah.
No, I think second or third. You're right. Not first.
If you do, no. I'm not trying to bully you or anything. If you feel that way, that's fine. Yeah, but Antonio Brown, how do you think he does over in Oakland? You think he's going to miss his buddy Ben Roethlisberger? I mean, he's dealing with Carr, right? Let's face it. I mean, Derek Carr.
Average.
Whether you like, Roethlisberger personally or not, you know, the guy is an outstanding, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback. So what do you think that Antonio Brown, do you think he just would just shut up and just play football?
I wish. We'll see. I think he's bullying. I think he's going to bully Derek Carr into throwing him the ball. The man a lot.
Right. And you wonder how Derek Carr is going to react to that. You know, is he going to, you know, is he enough of a leader where, you know, he's not going to take any of Antonio Brown's stuff?
Yeah, I don't think Big Ben didn't take any of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that he's a bargain now, Antonio Brown, where he's going?
Yeah, because
you know,
what
he had
last year he
first
was,
round pick.
Yeah.
First round pick. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, he's definitely a bargain, too. If he's there middle, second round, I think I'd take him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I took running back.
Do you think he regresses? Right. I mean, because you're looking past couple of years, 163 targets in 2017, 168 in 2018. Do you think he still gets that many targets in this Raiders offense? You know, 101 receptions. Yeah, he's had... 6 straight years of well over 100 receptions. I mean, do you think that he could put up that kind of production, or do you think he takes a step back just by nature of you know, the quarterback being kind of, we'll say, average?
Well, he's getting a little older now, right? He's in his 30s. I think He can hover around 100. I think like around 90 to 100 balls he'll catch this year. The targets will still be there, definitely. I think so.
Right, right. All right. How do you feel? Fantasy Taz now follows up pick 24, 25, and I like one of his two picks. I'm not a big fan of Mike Evans. Mike Evans, a wide receiver for the Bucs. Just not a big fan in general of the Tampa Bay Bucs passing attack. I mean, yeah, and then it all goes to from Jameis Winston. Now, the Jameis Winston, Evans, no doubt, has the talent to be a perennial, you know, top wide receiver. I just don't like the quarterback throwing to him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't trust Jameis Winston. I think Mike Evans is a solid wide receiver. I just don't know where Jameis Winston is going to throw the ball. He just throws it up,
mm-hmm.
and he has to go get it.
Right, right. And this is a big year for Winston, because I think the Bucs have to decide whether or not they renew his contract. New coach there, Bruce Arians. Supposedly they have a connection from back in the day. They've known each other forever. So I'm wondering if Arians could get a little bit more production out of Jameis Winston this year.
It'll be very interesting.
Yeah. What do you think of it? Then he took Fantasy Taz, Jim Day took Andrew Luck, by season's end, he looked like the old Andrew Luck again, yeah. Right?
He had a good year last year. I think this spot's fine for him.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at 39 touchdowns, 15 picks, brought the Colts to tennis. I tell you, Colts are going to be a team to be reckoned with in terms of that division as well. I don't know what your thoughts are on Luck. I mean, finally fully healthy, right? You know, that was the issue. He wasn't thrown for a while in preseason, but do you think he becomes the Luck of old again this season?
Yeah, he looked good last year. First round versus the Texans, solid. And then they just ran into the Chiefs, but I think what is he, the second QB off the board? I think that's fair.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody that I'm going to be targeting. I mean, in terms of quarterbacks, if you had a choice between him and an Aaron Rodgers,
I don't know if I trust Aaron Rodgers. I think I'd take Luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell. Now they drafted him this season. So, hey, you know, your buddy Aaron Rodgers had a little cameo in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, got burned alive.
Just like the most of that city, yeah. But Baker Mayfield went number 26, right behind Andrew Luck. Do you think that's a little high for him?
That's interesting. I don't know. He has a bunch of people he could throw to, but so he's the third off the board. I don't know. I think that's kind of high. Yeah. I like Deshaun Watson, but he goes a couple later.
Yeah, right. I think if I had to make a choice, I think I'd take Watson. Over Mayfield.
Yeah, they're very close.
Yeah. And the Texans did a little something that they helped themselves out a little bit with that offensive line, but that's the key, is they got to do a better job of protecting Watson this season.
The guy in between Baker and Deshaun Watson, Hunter Henry, I think that's wildly high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't argue with you. Coming back from injury. But remember, two tight end league.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt, was considered top, maybe top, I don't know, maybe seven or eight. We'll be back.